Guys, this was huge. It's almost unheard of in the industry as a whole. She doesn't do this all on her own, obviously. No brand this big does. Time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. Thanks for joining me today, guys. We are doing an individual episode and we are going to be talking about, the very recent acquisition of Rode Beauty by e.l.f. This was like a huge thing that happened in the beauty industry and we're gonna get all like into it. And we're gonna jump right into this because, guys, this was huge. I don't think something like this has happened in the beauty industry like to this magnitude, and this is gonna shake things up. I wanna really deep dive into the deal itself today, break it down. What does this actually mean? What do you mean e.l.f. Beauty acquired Rode? What does it mean? What is Rode going to be from now on? How does a deal like this work? What is this going to do for the beauty industry, beauty standards? And is this going to change that? Is that going to push beauty standards further? I want to just answer all of those questions the best of my ability in this episode today. So we're really going to be breaking down what happens when a brand built on minimalist clean girl beauty gets bought by a drugstore giant. Not only a drugstore giant, but a drugstore brand that is consistently on top of its game. We've seen e.l.f. grow from this like $1. Remember when e.l.f. was like $1 each product, like their white packaging way back in the day, to this like huge brand that is constantly not only duping products, but coming out with products that are so good at such low prices. And they've stayed like so popular and relevant these past few years. So how does that kind of mix? Because when I look at e.l.f., I see this beautiful, you know, this brand that is on top of their game and always new launches, new everything. And it's supposed to kind of be this like affordable dupe. And then we look at Rode, very minimalistic, very skincare based, very natural, clean girl aesthetic. So first off, when Rode released, you know, we've always known Hailey Bieber to be the aesthetic skin girl. She has very, very beautiful skin. And I think it kind of gave off this minimalistic, very aesthetic, clean girl vibe. And it still does. Now, for me, you know, I've been very open about my acne journey. This podcast is all about breaking down the walls of beauty standards, showing real skin. I've always been really open about my acne scars, texture, all of that, which can feel very, very opposite to Rode. But let me tell you one thing, her products work on textured acne prone skin. At least from my experience, I love Rode products. I think the only ones that I like aren't really for me would maybe be the lip liners, just because I love a long lasting lip. But everything else, like, I actually really like the skincare. It's very simple. It's nothing crazy. Their most innovative product, I would say, is definitely their cleanser. I love that product because it helps remove like very minimal makeup and also cleanse the skin. But you know, Rode's products aren't anything super new and innovative. They're not based on active ingredients. They're based on simplicity, giving that glow to the skin and really that minimal vibe. Now, even though the brand gives very like clean, grown aesthetic, I do still think that they've had, and you know, they don't always like feature real skin, at least from what I have seen. I mean, by real skin, I just mean like not the curated, perfect, smooth girl skin. But I've even had like one of my posts be reposted to their page, and you know, I have acne scarring, so I feel like they do, you know, still share that. I just don't see it much in their campaigns. Obviously, you know, most of their campaigns are centered around Hailey. We just don't see that side of it. And I mean, that's not what, maybe what the brand is showing. But you know, the question is, when we have brands like Rode, is this pushing that unrealistic beauty standard even more? Or do we feel like it's a brand that encompasses just feeling good in your skin and not pushing certain results? Because her products aren't really result driven, I feel like, because, you know, there's not really a lot of actives in there or anything like that. It's just supposed to be hydrating, moisturizing products, good for the skin barrier, that type of thing. But how do we feel about that? Because, you know, sometimes it feels like skincare like that can only be used and enjoyed by people that already have clear skin, because otherwise you should be using actives and whatever. I don't agree with that. I think that the Rode products are actually great for anyone who has any compromised skin or just wants like a simple hydrating routine. But in terms of how that's portrayed by the brand and aesthetically,
who's defining those flaws, who's actually profiting from it, and are people buying Rode because they're chasing after that Hailey Bieber aesthetic or for the products? I'm gonna say probably the first option, right? The former, because if we think about it, the brand is really Hailey, right? Like it is her aesthetic. That's really what they've been able to market off of, and they've done it in an amazing way. So amazing that no other brand has really grown to the extent that Rode has in the past just 3 years since launch and being bought and acquired by another huge conglomerate 3 years in. That is insane, and it's almost unheard of in the industry as a whole, which is what makes this deal so incredibly interesting to dive in on. So let's dive into the actual deal itself. So all the headlines and everything that came out on that day was that e.l.f. Beauty acquired Rode for $1 billion. Now, a lot of people, assumed that, oh my gosh, $1 billion just went into Hailey's bank account and now she's a billionaire and boom, e.l.f. owns Rode and case closed. That is a big misconception on how brand acquisition works. It's a lot more complicated than that, so I'm going to break it down. Hailey owns about 25% of the brand, I believe. So, first of all, the deal is not in all cash. I'll break that down as well. But other than that, she also does not own the brand fully. With a lot of huge brands like that, most founders don't own a big portion of their brand because you need to get other people involved. You need investors. She does have a co-founder as well, I believe. So the definitive agreement between e.l.f. Beauty. e.l.f. Beauty agreed to acquire Rode for $80 million at closing, which is compromised of $60 million in cash. So that's $60 million in cash. $200 million of e.l.f. common stock, which amounts to about 2.6 million shares, which were issued to existing Rode shareholders, and then the last $20 million to make up the $1 billion is based on future growth over a next 3 year post-acquisition period. To like sum that up again, we have 80 million of closings, which is compromised of 60 million in cash for the sale and 20 million in shares of e.l.f. stock to be issued to the existing Rode shareholders. And then we have 20 million that is kind of on hold based on the future growth over the next 3 years. So a little bit of this acquisition, it's actually an amazing, amazing play from like the eye of, a small business owner and a beauty critic, from the eyes of the CEO of e.l.f. Beauty, Tarang Amin. The CEO of e.l.f. said, "I've been in the consumer space 35 years and I've been blown away by seeing this brand, Rode, over time. In less than 3 years, they've gone from zero to 212 million in net sales, direct to consumer only, with only 10 products. I didn't think that was possible." Okay, so let's break that down a little bit because this is really, really interesting. And this is probably why e.l.f. was so quick to be like, we need to purchase this brand. Because if you think about it, so zero to 212 million net sales, okay? Net meaning like post net sales, okay? That is insane over the past 3 years. And yes, Hailey has a ton of influence. Regardless, what they've been able to do with this brand is absolutely insane and it's never been done before. They also have only gone direct to consumer. This is meaning, they're not selling in stores. They've been online only. Most of their marketing has been through social media, through Hailey's Instagram, through PR to influencers, through sharing lab samples with influencers and getting that hype around, from her sharing a photo of her phone case with the lip gloss in it, her sharing, a little bit of a sneak peek of a blush. And everyone goes wild because of the influence she has. And this has all been direct to consumer through online sales. They are not in stores yet. I know they're going to Sephora soon, but up until this 3 year growth mark, this has only been online direct to consumer sales. And then the second piece of it, they only have 10 products. They have their four product skincare lineup. They have the lip peptides, the lip liners, the phone cases, and the blushes. That is it. That is insane. 10 products. Okay. So basically, a lot of brands that would compare to Rode, like on a scale level, we'll have a lot more products like that. You see brands do launches after launches after launches. And yes, Rode has had, some launches here and there, but they've really been, new shades of the lip peptides, new shades of the blushes, the phone cases. Like they do a bit of variations, but core launches has been very minimal over the past 3 years. Maybe not even the past 3 years, but to get to that point in net sales over 3 years with only 10 products is really, really insane. So, Rode, as I mentioned, direct to consumer brand, they are expected to roll out into retail, including Sephora. And CEO of e.l.f., Tarang Amin, said that he believes that moving into that retail space will further support for growth ahead, and they will be entering retail not only in North America, but also in the UK. Regarding this acquisition, Rhode still it will exist as its own brand. It is just under the e.l.f. Beauty umbrella. So, what a lot of people don't know is, like, for example, let's look at L'Oreal. Okay, when I say L'Oreal, what do you think of? Do you think of the beauty brand L'Oreal that has the affordable drugstore makeup, or do you think of the giant conglomerate of a company that actually owns so much of the beauty industry, like literally half the beauty industry? I'm talking Urban Decay, Lancôme, NYX, Vichy, CeraVe, La Roche-Posay. Like, L'Oreal owns about like half the beauty industry. So similarly, there's e.l.f. Beauty that has an umbrella. That's an umbrella for a bunch of different brands. There's e.l.f. Cosmetics, okay? All the makeup that we love from the drugstore. e.l.f. Skin, they just recently separated those two. And then they also own Naturium, which is a different skincare and makeup brand. It feels a little more like elevated from e.l.f. And a lot of people didn't even know that those two were related. I actually learned that pretty recently myself. Just because, you know, a company can own a lot of these different brands that have very different aesthetics from each other. So in this case, e.l.f. Beauty, the umbrella company that owns these different brands, is who acquired Rhode, not e.l.f. Cosmetics. That is one of the brands under e.l.f. Beauty. Hoping that all makes sense there. So, Rhode will still exist as its own brand. It is just now the ownership has changed. The ownership is now under e.l.f. Beauty. And Hailey Bieber herself will still be serving and working at Rhode as the chief creative officer and head of innovation, overseeing all creative product innovation and marketing. I think this is really cool that she's obviously still going to be involved, and a lot of people were really confused by this of how she's like why she's selling her brand and stuff. The goal of a lot of companies, the goal of really any company, is to be acquired that one day, because that's when you start making money back. That's when you start seeing, you know, your own profits for your investments into your company. So most brand founders, like if they're CEO of the company or COO or like whatever position they hold, like director, president, whatever within the company, they pair themselves like a salary. That's usually like common at whatever level that company's at. And really, the time in their journey as a founder that they're gonna really see that money back from the company is when they sell, you know, when they either sell their shares, their ownership. That's when, you know, that's kind of the end goal with a lot of these companies. But the thing is, you know, people still have all the passion that they put in, everything they want the brand to do and see. So obviously, it makes a lot of sense that Hailey wants to continue with the brand and making her visions come true. But she can now do this at a way larger scale, because when brands come together and they get acquired, they not only now have all of the knowledge and support and connections that, you know, e.l.f. Beauty would have, but they have their manufacturers, they have their suppliers, they have all of those people that can help them get to that next step that would need. So Hailey will still be in as chief creative officer, which I think she has a great vision for this stuff, especially the marketing of her aesthetic and the products. You know, I think her products are really true to her and her routine, so it makes sense that she's going to continue having a say in developing products that make sense and fit with her brand and personal aesthetic. So within the last year, Rhode became the number one skincare brand, which is kind of insane to think about, especially going back to the point I made that they're not really, you know, any, like, there's not really any actives, like, you know, there's no salicylic acid or retinoids in this product. They're not really like results driven, like this is going to reduce your dark marks or acne or anything like that. It's really just the feel of the products and the whole aesthetic. And it's so simple. 10 products only, yet they've been able to become the number one skincare brand. And as I said, like, I think it's so interesting that these products are so basic by nature, but they're really selling off that feeling, the look that everyone, you know, it created all this fuss. Everyone wanted the Rhode phone case because it was cool. Everyone wanted the lip gloss because it looks so nice in photos and it's nice to pose with. The milky toner, you see it in every skincare tutorial, you know, it just dripping and everything like that. The growth is actually crazy for such a minimal SKU count, which SKUs, you'd have a SKU number for every different product you have, every different shade you'd have. And Rhode has a very, very minimal count. This, I think, will really change how companies, future companies, approach growth in the industry. Because we've been so used to companies and brands coming out with more product, new launch every week, new launch every week. We've seen it with so many companies. Think ColourPop. They've got a new collection like literally every single week. NYX Cosmetics, so many new launches, right? e.l.f. even, new launches. And I think this was a really great opportunity for e.l.f. And I'm really curious how this will change the game, not only for Rhode, but also from e.l.f. and maybe some of those learnings. things because e.l.f. is consistently new launch, new launch, new launch, new packaging, new this. So maybe this is why they were so interested in Rhode and being like, whoa, how did you guys do this with only 10 products and this much growth and so, so simple at the base of it? So we've really come from a world of like new launch, new launch, new launch to so simple. And you know, you don't need always a new product, yet there's still so much hype around when there is a new product and that aesthetic around it, and it kind of builds that up. So I think this will definitely make a huge impact on, you know, how the beauty industry moves forward and how we see brands, you know, maybe targeting not only their product development and new releases, but also how they're marketed. And, you know, maybe not seeing so much in retail, seeing more direct to consumer. And it's interesting because I think e.l.f. is so heavily retail that it's really interesting seeing these two worlds collide where e.l.f. has so many products, so many SKUs, and they're more like on the retail side, I would assume. And then Rhode is like complete opposite, super simple aesthetic, minimal products, and direct to consumer. And I think this will be a very powerful partnership because you're like colliding those two worlds, bringing that together, and they'll probably learn from one to the other. Now, within the last literally 2 days, I have to pull this up because I don't even have all the information on this because it's literally happening like right before our eyes as we're filming this podcast. I'm also curious how this might impact e.l.f. Skin. To be honest, I think people, a lot of times, like when they first saw this, they thought, okay, e.l.f. is acquiring Rhode, like Rhode will be completely like swept under. No, it's e.l.f. Beauty, not e.l.f. Cosmetics or e.l.f. Skin. So like they'll still remain as like separate brands. I'm curious if any of the formulations will change, any prices will change, because sometimes when brands get acquired, you know, they do switch over to their manufacturers, some pricing might change, all of that. But I guess time will tell. I do want to talk about this a little bit, which might be a little controversial, but I just feel like I need to say my points on this. I feel like when I was seeing the Rhode acquisition, a lot of people were, you know, downplaying Hailey's success. And not only that, you have to remember that behind this Rhode beauty brand, there's not just Hailey Bieber, you know, there's her co-founder, everyone involved, product development, marketing, so many people under this brand that, yes, Hailey Bieber played a big role, but I think people put too much on her name and think, oh, this brand is only here because she has the last name Bieber or blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, she clearly knows what she's doing, and so does the whole team that she has. And maybe, yeah, she doesn't do this all on her own. Obviously, no brand this big does, but she has the right people to obviously have made this brand as successful as it is. And whether you like her or not as a person, you cannot deny that this has kind of never been seen before with a beauty brand to escalate this huge with such minimal product. I was actually listening to the radio the like couple days after the acquisition, and the lady on my like local radio station kept consistently comparing Rhode to Rare Beauty. And I just cannot believe we're even having this conversation still in 2025. Like, girls, what are we doing? They are two completely different brands. And the girl on the radio basically said, like, you know, Selena came out with a beauty brand, then Hailey did it right after too. Tell me what part of these two brands are similar to you? Because to me, they are so completely different. When I think of one, like Selena, she's doing like more makeup based. You know, all the products feel like rich and luxurious and have that like kind feel to them where you just like putting them on. And then Rhode is completely, completely different. For me, I feel like I have that clean girl aesthetic, glossy, glowy skin when I use it. I love the feel of it. It feels so minimalistic and just like elevated. They're such completely different brands, but I think each of their brands completely speak to them as people. So I think that's like the craziest comparison ever, as if not so many people own their own brands and come out with things. And I think, you know, we've seen so many celebrity brands out there, but I think Rhode and Rare Beauty actually are two that did it absolutely right and stand alone outside of just their founder because they've created such an influence where people want their newest launch, want the newest product. And I don't see how they're similar at all. But she consistently kept comparing these two women, and this is the issue. We're pinning them against each other and we really shouldn't. And then, you know, just look. The comments were so condescending. I'm sorry that this lady was making on the radio. And these are the type of things that really irk me. You know, she said, you know, we saw the post, Hailey Bieber suited up in her little blazer, acting like a little businesswoman. But then she added the comment, well, good for her, you know, but good for her. I was like steam coming out of my ears at this point because, you know, yeah, she is a businesswoman. Yeah, she did just sell her company. At the end of the day, she was a 25%, I'm pretty sure, owner of Rode. So yeah, she's gonna come out in a suit when she's doing this massive business deal. I just thought it was so weird energy of just like, you are really gonna tell this person that owns this massive beauty brand that they're like playing dress up and pretending to be a businesswoman, but on the other hand, being like, oh, well, good for her though. It just felt so condescending. And I'm sick of tired and seeing, you know, people kind of bring this brand down, say that she doesn't work for it, call her a nepo baby or nepo wife. And I mean, at the end of the day, she leans into that and she, I think, handles it really well. And obviously, the brand is successful. And I think anyone who has that business mindset, it's not about how you feel about someone personally. You can look at someone's brand and know, yeah, they did a good job with that and they're doing something right. I think this is absolutely huge. I think this is amazing. And yeah, I think a lot of people are also getting confused because they're like, oh, now Hailey's a billionaire. So again, this deal, you know, it was 60 million in cash that was sold, which is a lot of money, but that doesn't just go to Hailey, it goes to any all owners split equally. So she owns 25% of that. So you can do the math there. Still a huge deal, still amazing. I think this is really gonna shake up how the industry moves forward. You know, I asked some of you what you thought about the acquisition, so let's get into some of that. So a lot of people are scared that products are gonna become more pricey. I don't actually know about that. You know, actually, you know, maybe that is a possibility, but something that could actually happen is I don't know what manufacturers Rode was using, but we've seen how e.l.f. has been able to manufacture at such low prices. I mean, I don't think Rode is going to start charging less for their products because at the end of the day, the price that a brand charges kind of sets the tone for where they're trying to stand in terms of being like affordable brand, high-end brand. Like, I think that they're that middle range brand and that's kind of the consumer they're trying to hit. They might actually start saving money on manufacturing based on the resources e.l.f. has to manufacture products at lower prices. So we'll see. But now that they're going into retail, that also changes things up because when you go into retail, you're paying for those spaces, right? You're paying to be in physical store locations versus online selling direct to consumer. That's going to have less costs associated to that, less storage costs, you know, the rental space, all of that. I kind of answered this earlier, but someone asked, I'm curious why Hailey is selling it. Is she not the full owner of it? So yeah, most founders aren't, especially at that like size. Something crazy, which let's just talk about, like throw this in because we're talking about founders anyways. Huda Beauty just bought back her entire brand. Entire brand. This is actually okay, wait. I'm going off track here. Let me finish up with Rode, and then we'll transition into Huda for this last bit of the podcast. So someone said, I heard somewhere she may have sold the brand to pay off her husband's debts. I feel like selling is what you want to happen. I also feel like the brand just took off and it feels too soon, but e.l.f. can really scale the brand for the masses, and e.l.f. really makes great products. Okay, there's gonna be rumors everywhere. Okay, I don't know. I don't know about any of the rumors. I'm trying to like stick to like the beauty side of it and the business side of it. And I agree with this person saying, like, I feel like selling is what you want to happen. As I said earlier, most brands' goals, like as owners, you want to sell. That is the end goal. So I think they're right. Like, it maybe does feel soon because we haven't seen this before for a brand to be acquired so early on. 3 years is insane. But like they said, e.l.f. can really take Rode to that next level. And I'm really curious what that next level will be. I love to see this other comment here. Someone wrote, I see it as a success for her and e.l.f. And it truly is. These two worlds colliding that I think can really help each other in terms of resources and knowledge and how they've approached the beauty space so differently. But what e.l.f. we know can do is take Rode to that next level and bring it to so many more people, which is what Hailey wrote in her Instagram caption, that that was her goal, is to bring Rode to way more people and grow it as much as possible to bring it to more spaces, places, and faces globally. And I think they'll do just that. Okay, let's transition to Huda Beauty a little bit because this just came out the other day and I didn't have much time to prep on this because literally this just happened. But this is kind of like actually insane. Insane. So she posted on Instagram 5 days ago saying, I can't believe I'm actually saying this out loud. We officially bought Huda Beauty back. This has been the craziest, most emotional ride of my life, and I'm honestly still processing it all. So, in another post, it reads, just a year after reassuming her role as Chief Executive Officer, CEO, Huda Beauty founder Huda Khatun is tacking on owner to her title too. The super influencer was among the first wave of beauty creators to parlay her digital audience into a beauty brand. She really did kind of set the stage of like the first big influencer brand. Retail sales that year were about to be around 20 million, and now Katon has purchased back that stake from the private equity firm. The brand has done north of 20 million sales year to date. Tan didn't disclose terms of the deal, but did say she paid a pretty penny to assume outright ownership. Since regaining the CEO title, she has been hard at work on the brand's next chapter, which has included a rebrand and a suite of products catering to previously untapped consumers. Like, this is absolutely insanity. Like, not just takes back ownership, takes back full ownership. Full. Do we understand what that means for a brand of this scale for her to own the entire thing? I was shocked, like absolutely shocked when I saw this because I didn't even think like it was possible to own an entire brand at that scale of level.
I'm not somebody who cares about the money. Is that bad to say because I'm a businesswoman? It's just the truth. I love the creative process. That's why I'm here.
It's so interesting hearing her say that, and it's actually very comforting because as a small founder myself, I studied business and I would consider myself business-minded, but I'm also not like I love the creative process so much, so it's very comforting to hear such like a successful businesswoman say that like out loud.
Here to create just something cool and to make a difference in the world. That's why I'm here. I really thought about it at that point, like just stopping, just not continuing anymore. I had a conversation with my daughter because I always also saw myself as a stay-at-home mom. And then I just kind of went, I was like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to be home with her. She didn't want me home with her. She was like, nope, I don't want you home. I want you to stay working. Like she was 5 at the time. I didn't know what I was doing, reading a lot of things out there, trying to learn and ultimately trusting myself for the first time ever. And I came back, went through a crazy transformation. I don't regret getting investors on at all. No, it was a great thing that we went through. And I want to explain something because it's really important. Usually what happens when you bring investors on, once it's time for them to exit, there's always like a period at like 5, 7 years. After 5, 7 years, they want their money back. There's usually a plan, right? Like usually you plan to sell your company to a big company like L'Oreal.
Basically, what had happened with Rhode selling to e.l.f. Okay. Wow. So, from publicly owned, which means like, yeah, she has investors, it also means that the stock of the company can be publicly traded, you know, bought, sold, all of that. Now they are fully private, fully privately owned, which is insane. She's brought it back to a family business. And as she said, for the scale of the company, like the level of where it's at, how large of a company it is, that is very rare. One, to have it privately held, but then also to not have already sold to a big conglomerate is really insane. But that is amazing. And I think, again, it's another huge thing that shows that it is possible. There's change in the industry. And I wonder how this will change how future brands operate and move forward. It's crazy because on one side of the conversation that we had today, it was that Rhode did sell to one of those umbrella companies. And then on the other side, Huda buying her equity back, which is really insane. I think both will shape how future companies operate. So yeah, let me know. Let's keep this discussion going. How do we think Rhode is going to change? How do we think e.l.f. might change through this? You know, how will this change how companies approach growth in the industry from both sides? And then on the Huda side, is private the way to go? It might be the new way to get back that control and recenter that vision. Yeah. I love talking like this business stuff. I know that it's, you know, not always talked about online, but I think it's kind of cool to melt and blur the lines between the two things that I really love, which is beauty and breaking down the beauty standards and being so realistic online about it. But then also this other side of business and brand ownership that I also am really passionate about. So hope you enjoy this episode. I know it was a little bit different, but let me know what you thought. And remember to check this out on YouTube for the video version. If you want to see me, we can kind of have a little hangout at the Loud Talk with Lavia YouTube channel. And then Spotify and Apple, if you're listening on the audio versions on your commute or on a walk or whatever you're doing, I love you. Thank you for tuning in. New episodes coming out on Loud Talk with Lavi every single Monday at 7 a.m. MST. We're changing from Sundays to Mondays now. I hope that's okay with you guys. We have two more episodes of season two of Loud Talk with Lavi, and then we're gonna take a little break before season three. So stay tuned for that. I have a double guest episode coming next week and the week after that. So hope you enjoy, but I love you guys. Remember, tell yourself something you love about your skin today, and you'll hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Bye.